Jesus, that we can get together today in the midst of the confusion that the world sometimes sees. We can have calmness and peace from the Prince of Peace. So Lord, you teach today, not let me get in the way. You bless hearts, please. I ask it, and you give us blessings today, and you already have. I'm glad I'm a grandpa, and I pray for Lindsay and Andy. Little Jimmy, as they travel down from PA today, that takes about 5 or 6 hours. So Lord, you be with them and wrap your arms around that car and get them here safe and sound. Bless us even now as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. If you need a Bible, Joe's going to give it to you. Anybody need a Bible to go along with our service today? Chris, I appreciate you working the sound. Y'all miss Chris last week? Joe did a fine job. So somebody says, you miss Chris? I said, yeah, I'll have to aim better next time. You use a scope. If you got the Bible in your hands, be thankful. You know, not just because it's there. Life point, but I know, be thankful we can study God's Word. Isn't it amazing that, Chris, Chris?
We're done.
Chris, I tell you, he's got to mess up with this right here. Just blame it on that guy. This little boy right here is a boy named Samuel. And Samuel heard a voice speak one night, and he thought it was Eli the priest. And after a couple times of that, once, twice, three times, Eli said, it's God speaking to you. So I thought I would do a series called Whisper and see how God speaks to you. And God spoke to little Samuel that night, and Samuel didn't quite understand it was God. You know what? That little boy might have been 5 or 6. I don't know how old he is, but sometimes we make the same mistake. We hear God speak, and we think, is that you? We question, is it God, or is it just coincidence? You ever see how the world calls it coincidence? Isn't that a coincidence? That, yeah, right. I guess it's a coincidence that I'm even here. I wasn't supposed to be here. My mom says I know better. My mom ran a high fever. I'm reminded of that every time I put my tongue on my back teeth because enamel stops. On some teeth, it does not even continue. On others, it starts again, but I got a crack in my teeth. Had a dentist one time. He said, who had the high fever? You or your mom? And I went, I didn't even know that. But I guess he says your last name's formed are your fingernails and your teeth and your enamel stops. He says, yeah, your fever must have pitched pretty high. Matter of fact, you actually should have what? I guess my mama knows better. So God whispers to my mama going to the operating room and says, it's going to be okay. She says, all right, that's all I need. And the skepticals with the medical degrees say, he's going to be stillborn. That's what they told them. I'm not supposed to be here. So if somebody says, you believe in miracles, you know what I could say back?
I am one.
Really? I tell that story to my kids at Salem every once in a while. I go, they'll hear it again on Tuesday because that's my birthday. I usually tell them my birthday. You know, they have an invitation song and I ask for people to come forward. And, Jim says, you're going to get fired one day. You know, well, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Salem student teacher loses job talking about Jesus. Whisper. God speaks. Have you ever heard him? Oswald Chambers says, the voice of the Spirit of God is as gentle as the summer breeze, so gentle that you, unless you're living in complete fellowship and oneness with God, you'll never hear it. We just miss it because we really hear what we want to hear sometimes. I said, listen to the lights hung right there. He said, I never noticed it until he pointed out. I think that's what God does. He says, you don't notice it until I point it out. Maybe we don't hear of God for those reasons. The voices of this world edge God's out. And we don't want God to speak to us because he reminds us of things we need to do. We just don't listen. This is called a whispering spot. It's found in 7 places in New York City. One of them is called Grand Central Station. This girl right here, she's not hugging the wall. She's talking to her boyfriend on the other side. This right here, he's listening to her. So your voice hits that, goes across the beam, and comes right down over here. You can barely whisper, and yet you can hear it about 30 feet away. I asked you last week, do you have a whispering spot where God speaks to you? You say, I can think of a place in my house. I know God can be anywhere. I'm sure that. I know that. But is there one place that's sort of like, they call it on a baseball bat when you swing it, right down through here. They always rotate it because you don't want to hit it on the trademark. You back it up a little bit because they said that's the sweet spot. You want to hit it on the end of the barrel right there. But if you turn it like this, they said actually you can crack the bat if it's the trademark station, or so you rotate it back a little bit. But that's your sweet spot. That's what the tennis players, that's your sweet spot. Well, this is a whispering spot. So if someone said, this is what we're going to do today, or God's going to have to work on something, or my mama, she was just saying, oh, Jesus. And I thought, woo, all right. Felt like the hair is coming up on my arms, and I just felt like Jesus entered the room. And she, that couch right there, she had a little place right there. She drank orange juice tomorrow, eat a banana. And she would take us to the phone. Makes me emotional, but Daddy used to take us to the woodshed, Mama would take us to the throne. They had good parents. Daddy would wear me out, and Mama would lift me up. It's a good trade-off. Well, I need them both. Don't you dare think it isn't. Did your daddy whip you? Not enough. Daddy wasn't no child abuser. Daddy was a great daddy. He didn't whip Tim because Tim would run. Tim was about, you remember the big old kettle of apple butter? You'd stir that and that stuff would just bubble. I wasn't there. Yeah, I hadn't come into the planet, but that big old black, the rod had to look like a capital L, sit there and steer that, because if you didn't, you'd coat the bottom and burn the bottom of the kettle out. As I understand the story later, Tim went over there and he was about to put his hand down in that bubbling sugar. It was took to the bone. So Daddy screamed, hollered at him real loud. Tim got so scared that he took off around and hid from Daddy about the rest of the day. But Daddy told me that story. He said, I would rather him be scared of me than lose a hand. What's God do to you? Same thing. He gets on you and makes you inconvenienced sometimes, but he saves you from damages that we don't even realize. He's whispering to you today. I don't know where your whispering spot is, but what kind of people did he whisper to before? When Psalms 46:10, he says, be still, know that I'm God. I didn't mean to take that too fast. Be still and know that I'm God. God will speak if we listen. Proverbs says, peace. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. So we're supposed to just carry this around, okay? Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to a man's bones. There are some verses. Just, again, the Psalms verse. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near and listen rather than offer sacrifice of fools. So I think you get the idea we just rush and do something. And God just says, would you just be still for a minute? You see that on TV shows when somebody come in, little kids like Opie on there, and go, hey, Papa, Papa. What does his dad always say? Calm down. Get your breath. Now tell me. And we want to raise up. Hey, God, wait a minute. The guy says, calm down. Get your breath. And now, listen. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We all want to do that, walk in the way. My sheep follow me because they know my voice. I like that one too. So God calls out to me, and I hear him. Of all these people right here, this is their sweet spot. We glanced at some verses last week, and these are mighty men of faith. We look like we got a hallmark of faith right there. But what did they all have in common? They all got a whispering spot. They all got a place that was special in their life. Now, if you got a Bible, I'm going to pick Jacob right there. Would you look at Genesis? Would you look at Genesis? Over in the first part of the Bible, first chapter, first book, rather. And first book. Would you look at Genesis chapter 28 before you get that? Genesis chapter 28. And I'll refer to this later, but I just want to show you something. And we can soon get, yes, at the sweet spot, or the whispering spot, the Jacob. Jacob called a place where God had talked to him Bethel. Now, Moses would have had his whispering spot at the burning bush, or David, a cave at Adullam. Ezekiel, you see where he's a sentinel. That he's like the guard. God's using him as a prophet to speak to people. Sometimes it's in the middle of Jerusalem. Daniel's definitely up in his top room, opened up the windows and faced Jerusalem. So But what about this guy right here, Jacob? Why don't you look at Genesis chapter 28. Jacob has a dream at a place called Bethel. So from then on, Bethel is going to be a special, meaning a lot to him. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. We're in verse 10 of chapter 28. Verse 11, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. So, Chris, this will be the stairway to heaven. I wonder if that ever influenced any songs. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Angels going up and down. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I'll give you and your descendants the land on which you are alive. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will be, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. Look at that. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. I'll not leave you until I've done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. That was a whispering spot to him, and I was not even aware of it. Paul's right there and just took this thought in your mind. Remember the subway up there, Grand Central Station? What if Jesus himself were over there whispering, and you come by and you're so busy, and this is the world is represented in those things of the owl, and here's somebody, and hey, newspaper, and they're selling newspapers, and you, and out of the glass, what if, and you see Jesus over in a whispering spot, and so you go over to the other whispering spot, and put your ear there, and you hear him go, I would have never heard that. Because of the commotion. Is it me or is it just commotion in the world? Yeah. All right, Jesus, calm things down. I'll do that. But I need your help. Well, you need to get off the racetrack and come over here, get in that whispering spot, and listen for me. And when he finds this, look what he says. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. I just thought I'd lay down and use a stone for my pillow. Didn't know I was going to meet God. Doesn't God show up in the strangest places? Might be in Winn-Dixie next time he's going. I don't know if Winn-Dixie even exists anymore. Okay, maybe not. You'll walk through the woods and say, listen. That's my prayer today. I always want him to be here. Life one is, I tell people Jesus may not live here, but he stops a lot and stays with us. Okay? That's just my way. He was afraid. Why? Because God is awesome and powerful. Jonathan Edwards did a sermon one time. Tim, what was the name of that sermon? Jonathan Edwards?
Sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Sinners in the hands of an angry God. You don't want to fall into God's hands unless you're righteous. Unless you, God, I'm in his hands. You don't want to be there being a sinner. One day sinners get to go to a place called hell, and he said, hey, you don't talk like that. I'm just telling you the truth when you know the truth. But if you know Jesus, you get to go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Jonathan Edwards, they said he wasn't a very good speaker, but by the time he got through that message, thousands. It's just like, we've got to get right with God. Because it's not the messenger, it's the message. God's in the message. I can't even mess it up. Gates of hell cannot stop God. That's what Jesus said. Gates of hell will not prevail against me. I'm not worried about messing up. God's going to be fine. How awesome is this? This is none other than the house of God. I thought he was out in the desert, crackling in the weeds with a rock. Any place can be the house of God. So the house of God occurs when we worship him. So the house of God can be in Long John still.
Yeah. The
house of God can be in a classroom. The house of God in your car. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And just for a moment, I want you to compare this, and you don't have to turn to it. He's watching angels go up and down and going, who's at the top of the stairs? Jesus.
This is God Almighty. You don't have to turn back to it in Genesis 11. They had a tower built. That was a tower of Babel. God didn't say, come on up and down. No, he said, can I use Giles' language? I'm disgusted with y'all. You're trying to get to heaven by building your way to heaven. Not by faith in me. You're going to build a tower up to heaven. How foolish. Confused all the languages. Now they can't even talk to each other. They go from hand me that saw to sprechen Sie Deutsch. Well, what? You're starting to talk a different language. And I'm thinking, what's up with you, Clarence? You're talking a language you don't understand. Everybody starts talking different. Causes confusion. That's what Babel means. Blah, 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 Babel. You're confused. So the Tower of Babel in 11 is God saying, this is not the way to heaven. Here we are in chapter 28. He's going out. But you can only go to heaven through God. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar, poured oil on the top of it. He called the place Bethel. Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Though the city used to be called Luz, and Luz means, almond trees, there. So changes its name. When you get close to God, you'll have a different way of looking at things. Now, I'm going to save the other verses because, Chris, would you help me out? I'm just going to show you a video of Mark Batterson speaking. And Mark's going to remind you of the sweet spot. And that's a Mosher family video. I love that. If we don't want to watch this. I like it better than Mark Batterson. You know, watch this, please.
When my wife and I moved to Washington, D.C. 2 decades ago, we took our first tour of the United States Capitol. It's an awe-inspiring building. Love the rotunda with the 8 larger-than-life paintings that encircle it. The Eastern Portico is an amazing view of the National Mall and the Washington Monument. But my favorite spot and the most memorable moment took place in Statuary Hall. It's the semicircular room where the House of Representatives first met on November 17, 1800. In 1864, Congress invited every state to nominate 2 prominent citizens for permanent display. 38 of those 100 statues stand guard in Statuary Hall. It's the who's who of American history. But let me tell you about my favorite spot in my favorite room. It's called the Whispering Spot. Our guide told us to stand on one side of Statuary Hall as he stood on the other. Then he spoke in a whisper, and somehow we could hear the echo of his voice all the way across the room as if he was inches away. The circular walls and dome ceiling of Statuary Hall allow whispering waves to travel the circumference of the room in unusual ways. When I survey scripture, I see whispering spots. For Abraham, it was the Oak of Mamre. For Jacob, it was a place called Bethel. For Moses, it was a burning bush. For David, it was the Cave of Adullam. For Ezekiel, it was the Kibar River, and for Daniel, it was an upstairs window facing Jerusalem. A whispering spot is as unique as you are. Simply put, it's somewhere you go to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is a little louder, a little clearer in those places. Now let me be clear about one thing. God can show up anywhere, anytime, anyhow. In fact, that may be why God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. If I was writing the script of scripture, I probably would have used the pyramids as a prop. But according to rabbinic tradition, God shows up in a burning bush on the backside of the desert to show that no place is devoid of God's presence. Can I just say this? We talk so much about getting into the presence of God, but the reality is this. God is here, there, and everywhere. God is present and accounted for. What's absent is our awareness. We need a revelation like Jacob had in Genesis 28:16. surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. In the Old Testament, God would manifest his presence in a unique way between the cherubim's wings above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. But if you think God's presence is confined to a chronological day or a geographical location, you put God in a box, even if that box is the Ark of the Covenant. I know there are those who believe that God speaks only through Scripture. I certainly believe that the Bible is in a category by itself as the inspired Word of God. And newsflash, the canon is closed. But we actually undermine Scripture's authority when we discredit God's ability to speak to us now in the same ways he did then. Listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still works in strange and mysterious ways. And I happen to believe if we do what they did in the Bible, God will do what he did. I don't think anything has changed. He still uploads desires, opens doors, and inspires dreams. He still speaks through promptings and people and pain. And just as he did for Moses, he can turn any piece of ground into holy ground. But it doesn't happen by default. It happens by design. I think we've got to find our own whispering spot, the place we go to hear the voice of God a little louder, a little clearer. Over the past decade, I've recorded a dozen audiobooks with a sound engineer named Brad Smiley. During our last recording session, Brad told me about standard operating procedure for sound mixers in the film and music industries. Before going into the studio, they let their ears relax and recalibrate through absolute silence. Acoustic ecologists call the process ear cleaning. If you want to hear the heart of God, silence is key. For the past 30 years, an acoustic ecologist named Gordon Hempton has compiled what he calls the list of the last great quiet places. It consists of places with at least 15 minutes of uninterrupted quiet during daylight hours. At last count, there were only 12 quiet places in the entire United States. And we wonder why the soul suffers. As Hempton noted, quiet is a think tank of the soul. Simply put, God often speaks loudest when we're quietest. The 17th century French philosopher Blaise Pascal once observed, "The sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his room." That's quite a statement, but it's not an overstatement. If our problems are hearing problems, a spiritual tinnitus effect, then the solution to those problems is a prescription that's as old as Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. By definition, white noise is a sound that contains every frequency a human can hear. And because it contains every frequency, it's very difficult to hear any frequency, especially the still small voice of God. Listen, chronic noise may be the greatest impediment to our spiritual growth. And it's not just spirituality that suffers. When our lives get loud, with noise filling every frequency, we lose our sense of being. When our schedules get busy, we lose our sense of balance, which is a function of the inner ear. Can I go out on a limb? Your life is too loud. Your schedule is too busy. If our hearing was a little better, I think we'd hear two things. First, I think we'd hear the Heavenly Father saying to us what he said to Jesus in his baptism. "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Listen, God doesn't just love you, he actually likes you. He wants to spend eternity with you. You're the apple of God's eye, and to believe anything less is to believe a lie. Second, I think we hear songs of deliverance. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Did you know that God is singing songs of deliverance all around you all the time? You can't hear them because they're outside your range of hearing, but you're surrounded by a sonic shield. Those songs of deliverance are powerful enough to break any bondage, to overcome any addiction, to solve any problem. Those songs are the reason no weapon formed against you will prosper. I'm not sure what problem you need to solve or what issue you need to resolve, but my prayer is that you would learn to discern His voice. And when you do, His songs of deliverance will set you free. Let me close with this. Silence is the difference between sight and insight. Silence is the difference between happiness and joy. Silence is the difference between fear and faith. According to interruption science, we're interrupted every 3 minutes. And the very fact that we have a field of science dedicated to interruption is evidence of how bad it's gotten. To find peace and quiet, we need to set some boundaries. Maybe it's no email before 9 o'clock in the morning or no Facebook after 9 at night. But what do you need to turn down so you can turn God up? What do you need to tune out so you can tune God in? So stop talking. Start listening and see what happens.
Stepped on your toes in, but does mine. You're in Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob called this place Bethel. And God made a promise, basically, I'm going to always be with you. Turn over a few chapters to Genesis 35. First verse of chapter 35 says, Then God said to Jacob, Go up to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So guess what? He packed it all up and went up there and did just that and built an altar. Verse 14, Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob named the place where God had talked with him Bethel. I think it's interesting. He set up a stone pillar, and he also used a stone as a what?
Pillow.
Pillow. So it's a pillow or a pillar. I'm not through with Jacob yet. Let me show you somebody that digs down really deep. Turn over to Genesis 37. I've already got Jacob returns to Bethel. Turn back to 32. 37 is going to be Joseph. Let's go back to 32. Let me show you what kind of heart this man Jacob has. See, you watch his angels go up and ascend, going into heaven. 28, and the place is called Bethel. And there God sends him back up in 35. But let me show you what kind of prayer this man was. Chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 22 of 32. I wonder if we could be more like this. I've been talking about a whispering spot and how you can pray and how you can hang on to God. And I don't want to, you know, if I said, Joe, how long are you praying today? I wouldn't do that. Joe could do that to me. Some days I feel like I pray a lot and I lay down the other day and I said, Lord, I got to see you. 45 minutes later, I thought, I'm going to be late for school. Yeah. But I just, like, you could sense him in the room. Other days it's a quicker prayer. And I know we can't always pray, like, but if you want to dig down deep, here's how you're rewarded. Jacob wrestles with God. Verse 22. That night Jacob got up, took his two wives, two maidservants, 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. You know, he's getting ready to meet Esau, who he thinks wants to kill it. After he'd sent them across the stream, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but after he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. He's just now got anything that would distract him. Does that make sense? That's the way God speaks to me through his word. Get rid of everything that will distract you. And if I sit down to pray and Gray jumps up on me, I'll just scoop Gray right over here. Gray's still right there. But I want to have, what did Mark Batterson say? Have uninterrupted quietness. And when he said the Tomatis effect, you might have missed the first week when he referred to an opera singer that had lost his hearing because then he started singing off. How did he lose his hearing though? Y'all remember that? Something so loud had caused him to become deaf. Guess what that something so loud was?
His own singing.
His own voice. He'd sang so loud for so long, and it's like, gosh, I'm actually hurting my hearing by my own voice. You know who your worst enemy is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look in the mirror in the morning. God, you don't speak to me. Jesus, come here. Look in this mirror. See that? You just be quiet, I would. Sorry. You're the one who caused you spiritually to be deaf because you can't shut up long enough to hear him. God wouldn't say shut up. Huh?
Sure.
But it's like, get rid of everything that distracts you. Jacob just now sends, all right, y'all going across the river. And he turns around. You know who he's along with now? A little scared. You're sitting there waiting. Here he goes. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Verse 25. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. If I was wrestling with my brothers, you know what I said about that? You know about that point? Hey, that's not fair. It's like bite me on the ear or something. Can't do that unless you're Mike Tyson. But I mean, don't bite me on the ear. Don't be mean. Touch him on the hip. It's like, no, this guy's perfect. Who's he wrestling? Then the man said, let me go for it is daybreak. Hey, we've wrestled all night long. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man answered, asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with who? With God. You've been wrestling God all night. You ever had a prayer of wrestling God? Again, I get emotional. Not will I cry, but when will I cry? When my daddy had a heart attack and he was over at the hospital, they told us he would not make it home. He gave us 11% chance he'd live. I don't know how they arrived at that. But anyway, I took it as a challenge. They said, fly him out. Can't fly him out. It's foggy, so they can't put him in a helicopter. He's going to have to go from the ambulance to Giles to get him to Roanoke. And I came home and I started praying. And I was praying like this. I was praying so hard I was hitting my teeth. And I said, God, you got to keep everybody out of the post office. I can't have any customers. I'm going to pray. How many people came to the post office that day? You think God, coincidence? I was gritting my teeth. I was going back, here's what you got to do. God says, how long will you do that? Because you're wrestling with me. I'm not going to let you go until you say that. Well, you ain't got the wrong hook. I don't know how you did that. We do. Me and Jesus like it. You ever take a picture with a buddy arm around him? That's me and Jesus. Well, he won't make it out of the hospital. Really? You don't know who you're talking to. Daddy made it home from the hospital. He didn't know where it was about 3 days. I showed up one night and finally got his eyes open. Daddy's like, phew. Like, I don't know what's happened this Tuesday. It's the day and Jesus Christ. What have I been 3 days? I don't know. And he said, you didn't eat. Daddy used to keep a stash of chocolate, Hershey's chocolate, pulled in the desk door in the post office and kept those little miniatures, you know, about the size of your thumb. He said, you didn't eat all my candy, did you? And Daddy's, you know, attempt to humor. Well, he's really saying, I'm glad I'm still here. Seems like we pray harder when things are really serious, too. But what if I could just tip that into the everyday prayer? God, no one's dying. Let me just grab a hold of you and wrestle with you. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Why don't we interpret that? I'm not going to quit praying and tell God, I've got to see you And the man asked, what is your name, Jacob? He said, and the man thought, your name will no longer be called Jacob because you struggle with God, with men, and have overcome. Jacob says, please tell me your name. He replied, why don't you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life is spared. God could kill me. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Do you think he was smiling or frowning when he limped? I think he was smiling. Like, thank God, he sure got a reverse turnover when he wrestled. Saw wrestling at Christiansburg High School. Was up there. I mean, I'm talking about the real wrestling, not that stuff on TV. And all these guys would just roll in there, and they'd have a two-point reversal, and you'd have to flip, and, you know, a takedown and all that. And I mean, that's, Jake probably like, hey, thank God, a good wrestler. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So they honor God. Touched him. By the way, Jacob meets Esau. Was God's, what do you think Jacob's prayer was? Oh, Lord, you have got to cut this meeting with Jacob tomorrow. I'm going to cut it in prayer. You cut it with grace. Esau wants to kill me. Here, I'll just paraphrase the story. The next day, dun, 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 dun. Remember Gunsmoke, the way it used to start?
Yeah.
You know, Perry knows Gunsmoke. So Jacob's like, Jacob, don't have a gun hanging. And you know what, back, are you? And he's like, and Esau gets out and walks out, and here they are, high noon, and, you know, get a good breath. Esau doesn't draw his gun and shoot him. Esau runs and gives him a hug. What's the deal? Esau, I thought you were mad at him. I'm not mad at you. What's all this stuff that you sent me, all the cattle and everything? You trying to buy me off? Well, yeah, I was sort of hoping that you wouldn't kill me after I give you all this. I'm not going to kill you. Anymore. You keep your stuff. Brother, I forgive you, big Eric. I forgive you. You've been wanting to kill me for years. I don't anymore. Who changed Esau's heart? God changed his heart, and Jacob sent the prayer to tell God that, you know, we get things done. Jacob probably turns around and goes, I thought I'm going to die. Best day of his life. Reconciliation with your brother. Goes home and, oh, happy day. And Rachel and Leah, his wives, say, how'd the meeting go? He's almost come eat dinner with us. I mean, must have went pretty well. Better than I ever thought it could. The Bible says he'll make even our enemies be at peace with him. You got any enemies? I'm not sure I'd call them enemies, but I got some people that, God, you got me at peace. You want to wrestle? Here's a man that taught us how. Let's pray. Oh God. For the next few moments, we'll practice what I preach. We'll be quiet. We'll be still. Would you guide us on what we should say to you? You touch our hearts. You bring things to mind. Bring people to mind we should pray for. If we have any unconfessed sin, Lord, let's hand that out and say, Jesus, that's the elephant in the room, so to speak. That's what we sometimes don't want to talk about. Let's bring it full force right in front of your face and say, God Almighty, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me of all my sins? Cleanse me. You promised if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. Would you wash us whiter than snow? So would you forgive us all our sins? Now we put that away. We know it cost your life on Calvary to pour to us the love of grace and mercy. So thank you for that. Now that we've got a clean heart before you, Jesus, may we talk to you about that. But Jesus, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for roaming the room and tugging at hearts. Help us have a whispering spot. Let's have an ear to listen to you. Lord, right now, help us be drawn closer to you. I know you can hear our prayers and you're everywhere. Like Mark Batterson said, you're anywhere, everywhere. Sometimes we just have a special place that we feel closer to you. Lord, help us enjoy that spot today. But after all, it's your day. It's the Lord's day. We're in the Lord's house with the Lord's people studying the Lord's book. Help us to be still and know you're God. Know that forgiveness, we keep short accounts every time we sin, and we ask forgiveness and cleanse us. And we stay more in tune and sensitive to your voice. Let's be like Jacob, wrestle with you. If we want something answered, we just keep. We don't let you go. And you smile at that, you think, oh, here's Abraham pounding on the door, wanting me to open up like that story in the Bible. The person that wanted to. So they knocked on the door and they kept doing it. And the person finally gave them what they wanted, not because they finally started caring, but because of their persistence. Maybe be persistent in prayer this week and say, God, I'm going to ask you again about the things, same things I've been talking to you about. But you love that. You love us coming and kneeling and talking to you. They talk to you like a friend because you are a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. So Lord, now surround my life and my family. Andy, Lindsay, and Jimmy here saved. Cause us to be at peace with our enemies. Help us to know that grace is free, but it costs you everything. So God, thank you for being good. Thank you for speaking to us today.